Well, I want to exhort this evening on faith. We don't go too far before the Lord brings us back and reminds us that faith is the key to walking with God, understanding the Word, living the Word. Without it, we cannot please God. And thank God that He keeps us walking, reminding us that each day we walk by faith and not by sight until He comes. And we're calling our teaching today, Faith Keeps Our Eyes on Jesus. Faith keeps our eyes on Jesus. I don't seem to be able to get away from the fact that with regard to our faith, the Word of God, we have to really, really understand and remind ourselves that the Word of God was made flesh and that it is a living person who is real, alive today. This is why our faith teaching is never stagnant or a dead letter. The Word of God is a living book. You never come to the end of it. There is always something new to learn. And we need to understand that because the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, the nature of it is to enable us to be able to walk by faith. And that is the whole point. We still too often look to our circumstances. We still too often are convinced that God cannot do this or God doesn't do these things today. It's different. But when we begin to understand that behind the Word of God, which we read, which we preach, and which we teach, is a living person. And He has come back to us, baptizing us in the Holy Spirit. He's not left us on our own to defend for ourselves and fight for things. He has come back, baptizing us in the Spirit, revealing Himself, because when He reveals Himself, He reveals His Word. And you cannot separate from this. You see, Satan often attacks where God isn't so applicable today. And he's very, very clever and cunning how he does it. You see, society is different today. And indeed it is. Vastly different to the times of when Jesus walked. But human nature doesn't change. Our believing, our faith doesn't change. Our needs in this world don't change. Even though we may have technology, we may have travel, all these things that were never around then at the time and when the New Testament was written. But it doesn't change. Many say, well, we're more educated today. We're more discerning. We learn now about things. But the Word of God doesn't change with regard to that. You see, many approach God and His Word, that it's something that was for yesterday, in the past. It's not applicable today. Or we say that life is so different, it moves quicker. People do things, people travel the world. Life is hectic to follow God in the way that the early church followed the Lord. And we still allow those suggestions of the enemy to work in our lives, in our mind, in our thinking. And it's very subtle how the enemy works. That's why he says that we're not to love this world, but to be separate from the world. Because the world is idolatry. And idolatry is such a hindrance to our faith, to seeing Jesus and having that personal relationship with him. We know that Israel's failure and her rebellion, her constant rebellion, was idolatry. She wanted to be like the world and believe like the world and look like the world. This was the constant battle. And we know that God gave her up because she didn't mix faith with that which she heard. Why could she not mix faith with that which she heard? Because she was not experiencing God, who is alive, real, today. They couldn't understand that. And it's the same principle with us. Through the Holy Spirit that we have received, that we have received him in his guidance, his leading, his promptings. But too often we find when the Lord is honing in on certain areas that he's requiring of us, we somehow object, or we become hard of hearing, or we'll leave it for a later time. That is why the nature of the deeper life, its nature is deliverance. We are being delivered for the purpose that the bride is making herself ready. Why do we stress this so much? Because we're now in the time of the great apostasy, the great falling away. We are seeing it before our eyes. And if you cannot see it, then something is very wrong with your walk and relationship with God, because it is so evident. So few believe. I know this because I address this so much now with Christians online. Few believe. They just have a small amount of faith in Jesus. But to be honest with you, when I read what they write or what they reply, you find yourself, Lord, will these people make it into the kingdom of God? They still want the broad way. They are not prepared to give up their life in this world. They fight against discipleship. They don't mind being called a Christian, but they don't like being a disciple. And we know that Jesus turned to the multitude and he revealed discipleship by them taking their cross up also and following the Lord, revealing that it is disciples who walk with the Lord, who have this relationship. You see, when you have a relationship with Jesus, he is the Word. He is our faith. He's given it to us as a gift. Jesus, if you like, is a revelation to us that whatever we're seeing, whatever we read, that is what he's saying, even though it may not make any sense. And that's the problem. You see, faith doesn't always make sense. And God has purposed that so that it is faith. You trust him. If you could work it out, you would start to control. You would start to get your mind, your intellect in the way. And he knows that, and that's why He doesn't work like we do. As Isaiah says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. It's completely the opposite. And that is why we have to accept that and believe that faith is that higher knowledge, revelation, understanding. And very often when we start to take that step of faith, then knowledge starts to come and understanding starts to come. But until you take that step of faith, you're just talking it. It's just hot air, you see. And that's why it always requires a step of faith. Then the revelation, the understanding starts to come. We see it right through the Bible with God's saints who walked with him. I'm reminded of Daniel. Daniel was preserved when he was put into the lion's den. His faith believed that God would preserve him. There we are, Psalm 91, against those beasts. He was able to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. That reveals he's walking with God. He's in tune with the Lord. He's in relationship with God. I'm reminded of Elijah, who came against the prophets of Baal and Jezebel. Even though, yes, he did run from it, but God had a way of bringing him back and facing the battle. And he wrought a miracle, a victory for Israel, because she was getting rid of all the prophets of God. I'm reminded of Elisha, who took the mantle of Elijah. Again, a man who walked by faith. He believed that God would place that mantle on him. His faith was acting. How was his faith acting? He was following him. Elijah was putting him off. He was trying to say, don't follow me, you know. But he wasn't going to take no for an answer. And that's what faith does. Faith has a tenacity. Faith will not be denied. I have come thus far. I have walked all these years with you. I'm not going to be denied. I'm not going to take second best. God loves that. Sometimes God deliberately tries to put us off. He's testing us to see whether we walk by faith or not. Gideon came against the Midianites, believed that God would destroy the Midianites, who were the enemy to Israel. And look how God worked through there. Look how attuned he was to God, listening, hearing what God was saying, reducing that army right down to 300. Again, these are great exploits of faith, walking, moving with God. How about Hezekiah? He was a king who dealt with those high places of idolatry, real iniquity, real evil going on in those high places at the time of the judges, abominable things going on. He got rid of them. And yet later on, he has an illness. He seeks God, and God grants him an extra 15 years, heals him. His faith is reaching out all the time. How about Jonah? Yes, Jonah ran from God, but after God dealt with him, he was only too ready to go and prophesy to Nineveh. God was showing his mercy to a wicked city and forgiving them. but it took an act of faith in which to be revealed. Rahab the harlot hid the spies. And she said, don't destroy me or my family. And they said, okay, all get in the house, but put that red scarlet thread outside on the window and you will be spared. She acted her faith. And we could just go on and on and on. These things would never happen unless they put their feet where their mouth is. It wouldn't happen. It's just words. And that's what we do half the time. And this is why we get bored, or we're frustrated, or nothing seems to be happening. I've walked all these years and what's going on? Because we're all the while looking for someone else to step out in faith when God's saying, what are you doing with your faith? You see. And that's where we grow and mature in the Lord. We are responsible for our walk of faith. And when you put Christ first in all things, then all these things come. And we're going to read this again. We've read it many times, but I'm not apologizing. In Matthew 6, verse 25 onwards. Because the Lord goes right to the root of what causes unbelief and why we do not act our faith. He says in verse 25 of Matthew 6, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, your whole life, your circumstances, your provisions, everything. Don't worry about your life. You're preserved. It's Psalm 91. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So he's using these things that we so are anxious about. He's saying life. The life that I have given you, that faith that I have given you, is that not more valid and important than your anxieties on everyday things? That's what he's saying. And you have to decide on that one. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? They're not worried about storing up food, making sure that the freezer's not empty or whatever it is. Not at all. He says, are you not more value than they with regard to God's provisions? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? You see, he's getting to the root of worry, because that is where the enemy oppresses you, oppresses your mind. Why does he use that? Because he knows that is a killer to faith. And that's why so many Christians do not break through in faith. They entertain these worries and anxieties. So why do you worry? Here it is again, keeps bringing it up, about clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So he's showing that he's going to look after you. He's going to clothe you nicely. Because he's using the analogy here. The lilies of the field, the lily is the most beautiful flower. And a lovely, well, the original lilies were white. So he's showing that he gives you the best. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, Oh, you of little faith. And that clothing also, in a sense, means provision, wholeness in mind, body and spirit. Therefore, do not worry. Here we are a third time saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? He's going back again. He's going over what we've just read before. He's making a point. What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things. He knows. That's why you don't have to keep asking him. He knows all our needs. He knows our provisions. And we certainly need this now with everything that is going up in life now. Nothing is coming down in price. Everything continues to go up and up and up. It's the book of Revelation shows it's going to be virtually impossible before the Lord comes to be able to pay the way it's going. That's how it's going to be. But this doesn't change. This is not changing through inflation. Doesn't change when you find that bills need to be paid. I haven't yet got money or haven't got enough. This doesn't change. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. You see, it's not only seeking the kingdom, but it's seeking it in righteousness, meaning that you are right. You have that right standing with God. You are declared right in his presence. And also these things should be added to you. Therefore, do not worry. Here it is a fourth time about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry whether there's rumours of wars or whatever it would be. Don't take news and what you hear too seriously. Because he says we're not to worry about these things. God has it under control. And he will lead and guide us. This frees you up from anxiety. It frees your mind up that's hindered, filled with clutter. That's why we can't break through. You see, it's a huge deliverance. God is working on the mind because the enemy knows that's where he can attack and get to your faith every time. He knows how to do it. But the point is, are we going to let him? Or are we coming to that place where we just say, enough is enough? Either I walk this walk by faith or I don't. Because you don't play at this. This is about life and death. This is about future. This is where you're going to spend eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And we forget about that one. And when we're looking to Jesus and we're in relationship with him and our eyes on him, this all stops this becoming religious and pharisaical and trying to bind yourself under the law, which is a huge problem in the house of God. They still argue and bicker that you should keep the Sabbath. That's still a big one. And Easter and Christmas and so on. What is it revealing? They haven't that relationship with God as they should have. Because if you have, you see, as it says in Colossians, he's nailed the whole of the law to the cross. Why put yourself under these things? Israel couldn't keep it. So why do you think Gentiles can? And yet they try to. And you see, faith is so important to our walk that God shows mercy with regard to faith. And here it is in Matthew 17 and verse 20, which you know very well. And it speaks about the boy, the epileptic, that was healed. And they want to know how, you know, to cast these out and everything. You know, the disciples are watching all of this. And we take it up in verse 20. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here and there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. So he's showing that the healing of this epileptic was taking also prayer and fasting. For what? For faith. And he says, just a mustard seed of faith. Now, why is he saying this, a mustard seed of faith? Because he's revealing that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we don't believe. And that is our problem. And he's revealing that nothing will happen unless you base your faith on God's word and promises. It doesn't happen. And the only way is you have a prayer life. Yes, if need be, fasting. He's talking there in verse 21 that it's relationship. Our faith, our belief in the word is a real person, and his name is Jesus. And we leave that out. We still look at the word in an intellectual way. A person is behind this. He was the word made flesh. You see. And that is what he's wanting from us. Through this relationship that we have with him, then the word starts to become alive. It quickens our faith. It enables us to be able to walk by faith. Because faith keeps our eyes on the Lord to help us trust him in all things. It's not only looking at him, but it's looking at him, his love, his grace, his mercy, his long suffering, everything that is in Christ. That is what we're looking at and experiencing. It's not just a person. And this is why faith doesn't work all the time for Christians, because a relationship you have to work at. It has to be cultivated. It's the same in a marriage. It's the same with anyone, any friend. You have to work at it. And yet we sit back and we expect that Jesus is going to do all the work. It's not. Salvation is a covenant. It's two people coming together in agreement. And even God has to make the first move, because it's not in us. And we fail to forget this as believers. Because he's wanting to get us to trust him, and how much we need to do this now in these last days, with everything being shaken. Nothing is reliable anymore. The price of everything going through the roof. We have to trust him. The trials of our faith are so that we daily live with him in this world. That's why we go through the trials and testings. Because those trials and testings throw us on him. Did you know your trials are the mercy of God? That's why it says, count it all joy when you go through trials, testings. It's actually the love of God throwing you on him to trust him. And he's using a trial in which to do it. We wouldn't go through half and a quarter of the trials if we were obedient, but we're not always. That's the problem. We're rebellious. No, our faith is to keep our eyes on him. That's why it says he's the author and finisher of our faith. Because we know that those who call themselves Christians, but are not going on deeper with the Lord, we see very clearly what is going to happen when the great tribulation comes. It's going to be horrendous in those days, those that are left. Let's just remind ourselves of a few things, what it says, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2 and verse 10. And here it addresses the church at Smyrna. Do not fear any of those things which are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulations 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Some are going to face martyrdom through the Antichrist. They're going to have to make a choice whether they take the mark of the beast or not. And what is that all about? That is he's testing their faith. Thank God we don't have to go to those limits now if we are listening and applying wisdom like the five wise virgins do. But many are not. They're not listening. They're not taking heed. And we are rapidly moving toward these events unfolding. I mean, the way the world is moving, the way politics is moving, and what is going on in the Middle East and with Israel and so on, is a job to keep up with it now. And we know this one, as we bring this to a conclusion, what our Lord said in Matthew 24 and verse 13, he says here, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And that's what it is. So whatever our life, whatever we're going through, whatever your trials and tribulations, your testings, stay with it. Keep coming. Keep listening. Because God is going to continue working on your faith to believe. Because we still are confessing through our mouths the opposite to what God's word says. And you really do need to listen what comes out. And that's why the trials and the testings will always reveal what is in the heart for that purpose. But we do have to take this seriously. And that's why we called this teaching today, Faith Keeps Our Eyes on Jesus. He's the object of our faith. It's relationship. It's a walk. It's a trust. He is living, alive today. He's with us, wooing us on, speaking to us, telling us not to doubt, not to entertain these worries, this unbelief, these doubts, that fiery darts that try to hinder and to attack the mind. Cast them down. Refuse to think on them. and you're fine. The enemy starts to give up, loses hold after a time. And you begin to find, gosh, I'm not being attacked so much with unbelief like I used to be. All those bouts of fear that would try to paralyze me or whatever it is. There's a change going on. And what is it? It's that rest by faith. Because that's what faith must have. It's got to have those conditions of peace, rest in the Lord, not striving, you see. And that's what he's doing. He's working that within us so that we calmly walk each day, whether there's an earthquake, whether there's a hurricane, or whether there's a famine, or whether there's a sickness or disease or whatever it is, we walk calmly by faith each day with our eyes focused solely on him. That is what he's doing. Now, you either want that or you don't. Because he's going to move us and work with us in which to walk in those conditions. Because the world will not give you that. It will not give you it at all. And that's why we seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Praise God. Well, there we are. I trust that that has been of help and encouragement, and that he doesn't give up. The message of faith doesn't give up. Still the same, still encouraging us, still exhorting us to carry on, not to give up, not to turn back, but to continue with our hands to the plough, looking forward.